You've heard the headlines. Get some perspective now with Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Good morning and a happy Monday to you. We'll jump right into the show. Challenges still in our state's education system.
The lead.
While many teachers this week will pack up their classrooms as the end of the year nears, next year it's going to be even harder for schools to find someone to educate those students. We already have a teacher shortage in this state. In fact, some 1,500 classrooms in Arizona had no teacher to start the 2018 school year. Now we're learning, because of the booming economy, there's also a substitute teacher shortage.
Yeah, I remember, I won't say I was surprised by it, but maybe disappointed is the word, that even after the agreement, the 20 by 2020, the percentage teacher raises that were implemented last year, that we started off a school year, and we had our state superintendent of public instruction, Kathy Hoffman, in studio talking about, despite that, and despite the promises of raises in the future, we started the year off with full-time teachers with a huge number of unfilled full-time positions in classrooms, and we're learning that that has like a ripple effect when it comes to substitute teachers.
At the beginning of this school year, that a lot of students and teachers are going to be wrapping up this week and next. In August of 2018, some 1,500 classrooms here in Arizona started without a teacher in front of students.
And when you say teacher, we're also talking about there are qualifications and requirements.
A certified teacher, yeah.
Certified, thank you very much. Because not all of the substitutes who ended up standing in front of those classes were of the same qualification.
Right. I'm talking about your traditional teacher.
Traditional.
Right?
Got it.
And then a month later, a month into the school year, Bruce,
yeah,
some 660 teachers also quit.
Oof.
So who fills those positions when these teachers either don't renew their contract, quit after the first month,
mm-hmm,
or, God forbid, get a some sort of medical diagnosis?
Yeah, there's always going to be some turnover.
Or get hurt for some reason,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
some family emergency. A lot of times you have school districts that rely on substitute teachers. We all had them growing up, right?
Substitute teacher meant we got to watch a movie that day.
Now imagine if you have a permanent sub.
Are we going to watch movies every day?
Right, exactly. Not so much the case,
okay,
but there are a lot of students that are wrapping up the school year with a permanent sub that have been in front of them. What we're now finding out is that it is becoming more difficult for teachers to find subs, or principals
schools
to find,
yeah,
subs for that classroom, because there are fewer and fewer substitute teachers.
Well,
why?
Because it is harder and harder in this economy with the low unemployment rates. Why would people choose to be a substitute? Because basically, just like everything else, school districts, principals, like you said, are competing for employees, substitute teachers, with everyone else out there.
So, yeah, if you've got some 1,500 classrooms without a certified teacher in front of them, some 660 that quit within the first month, you're going into like September,
math.
You're going over 2,000 at that point.
I was told
there'd
be no math.
Okay.
Okay.
You're going into like September, October.
Yeah.
If you're a substitute, you're going to get a full-time gig.
Because you're probably looking for one.
And if you get a full-time gig, guess what? You're no longer a substitute, which means you're taken out of that pool of candidates,
okay,
to stand in front of a classroom, say a teacher need to have a day off.
I'm looking at, I'll use the term, the ripple effect that this has.
Yeah.
So you start without a full-time qualified, certified teacher in the spot, and you start with a substitute.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is not meant to be disparaging towards substitutes. I'm sure some substitutes are phenomenal, but there's a reason they're substitutes. That as the substitute pool becomes smaller and smaller, I think you could make an inference that there are a lot of classrooms out there with people who are only marginally qualified to stand in front of a classroom. And then what impact does that have on that 20, 30 kids in that classroom? We've talked about how easy it is to get derailed on your educational career. You're in the second grade, third grade, fourth grade. You have a substitute for a full season, a full year season, or maybe multiple substitutes that fill in over the course of a year. Is that like a lost year for a student?
Well,
you see what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. You would hope that the district would put one of their best subs as a full-time.
The best they can find,
right,
though. We're grading,
right,
on
exactly
a curve.
But let's take that out of the equation, because, okay, I think that that is the exception and not the norm. most kids are going to have substitutes at some point in time in their educational
Teachers
career.
Teachers get sick and stuff, right.
They go away for a conference or whatever it may be while the kids are still learning. On average, students spend roughly a full year of their academic careers with a substitute teacher.
Okay.
Cumulative.
Okay, cumulative over the K through 12.
You want somebody, I mean, a full year. You want somebody who's highly qualified in front of your kids. But with the way the economy is going, booming economy, which means there are a lot of jobs out there.
Competitive jobs.
Competitive jobs. You're seeing how this is hurting education. Now, we also heard over the weekend that the Republicans down at the state capitol have come together and they've drafted a budget, right? There's a deal on the budget, of which we don't quite know the details of it yet, but it's coming.
Back in January, Governor Ducey proposed an $11.4 billion budget that would devote $1 billion to state reserves and education funding. The governor telling us just days ago he is optimistic there will be an agreement. Now, just hours from now, we are expecting to learn more about the current plan on the table. It could be put into place by the end of this week.
So what I don't know about how the state of Arizona negotiates, comes up with, and deals with a budget would fill a very, very large room. But I do find it interesting that education being such an important part of the budget for the state of Arizona, an important part of what a lot of you have said is important in your lives, your children's school, your community, the schools in your community. Do you find it interesting, disappointing, or odd that the budget discussions, the budget meetings, the coming up with the numbers for education, the state superintendent of public instruction was not only not invited, but when asked to attend the meetings, was told she couldn't.
She's also a Democrat.
Okay, I get the D and the R, but she's still the person.
No, I get you.
On some level, responsible for education, and she's not even allowed. Forget a vote. She's not allowed to sit in the meeting.
Right. Well, neither were any other Democrats, I guess, is the point that I'm trying to make.
But she was elected.
There.
It's an elected position.
I get you, man.
Here's the thing. It seems kind of crazy,
there's
doesn't
a billion-dollar surplus, all right, of which the governor wants to put the majority of that in the rainy day fund. And I understand putting a lot of that in the rainy day fund. Part of the reason why education is in the hole right now is because governors prior didn't put anything
there was
in the
no rainy day
fund.
Right?
So when it began to rain, guess what? You had to cut education dollars. And we've now been digging out of that hole for 10 years plus.
Okay.
So I get why he wants to put a big chunk of change in there, because it's going to rain someday.
Mm-hmm. He's a businessman.
But on the flip side of it, too, this is a problem that needs to be addressed now. And I think that you can hear from the people of Arizona how critical this issue is, wanting education to be funded. It's going to take a while for us to dig out from that hole, but if we can kind of fill some of it right now, we should. And it's something that State Superintendent of Public Instruction Kathy Hoffman is concerned about.
We saw a budget leaked out of the Senate from the Republican leadership that was leaked out that had a lot of cuts to it had less funding for education than what the governor had proposed. So, for example, the governor had proposed in his budget proposal that we have money for the Teachers Academy, but that was not included in this budget that was leaked out of the Senate recently.
The other aspect of the budget that I'm going to be watching closely is the governor also wanted to put some additional dollars into guidance counselors and counselors for students.
Because we have the worst ratio in the country.
We have 900 students to every one counselor.
Yeah, the worst ratio.
And the national standard they have is at 250.
We're nowhere near that.
And
there's a lot of math in this first segment, and I just want to point out that I don't like starting the show.
Hey,
with
guess
math.
What? I'm carrying it for you, man.
Okay.
It's Monday.
I'm going to take your word that 900 and 200 are different.
And there was enough money in the budget proposed by the governor to bring that ratio down to, I believe it was like 750 to 1.
Good news.
Not a ton.
Still not.
But again,
it's not going to change overnight.
I'm a big fan of progress over perfection.
Yeah,
you're not going to get there overnight. Let's keep chipping away at it. Now, if those dollars don't exist, that's going to be a problem. But it is something that we're going to continue to watch as that budget is revealed today.
Yeah, we'll learn more and more about it and keep our eyes on it. Again, something that's important to so many folks, not just those of you with kids in school. Coming up on Memorial Day weekend. This weekend, right? Next Monday will be a holiday for many of you. And a lot of people think of Memorial Day weekend as kind of the official kickoff of summer.
Barbecues!
So why is everyone wearing sweaters?
Yeah, you see mine,
why you got the hoodies out today?
Uh-huh.
Summertime in Arizona?
I love it.
Is odd.
This is great.
But it means crazy weather also up north.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
I thought I had at least another 9 months or 8 months I had to go before hearing this horrific music, but it is snowing in Arizona.
It's very rare for May to get snow anywhere in the state.
Yeah. How about mid-May?
I love it.
How about late May? Right this second. Right this second in Flagstaff, it's snowing.
I love it.
I'm looking at live video, like the live video.
Oh, look at that. It's beautiful.
It's coming down.
That's beautiful. It snowballed just closed this past weekend.
Idiots, they closed too soon.
I know. They're like, maybe we could have kept it open through Memorial Day weekend.
So those of you that are new to the Valley, we know, you know, Phoenix in Maricopa County, fastest growing
in
the country. A lot of you you might be new. And I just want to, first off, congratulations. Welcome. We're really excited that you chose it here. But
he's Bruce. I'm Pamela.
Yeah.
Hi.
Don't get used to this because this is not anywhere near what we would call
typical.
Normal.
Back in 2008 was the last time we've gone later into the year with cooler temperatures. We had a high of 72 degrees on May 23rd and May 24th.
This is bananas.
Yes.
Yesterday, we were walking to dinner, and Chris and I were talking about how awesome this weather is. We're going to try to get a table outside to enjoy it because it's going to get hot. You know, summer is here, but can you imagine if the temperatures were like this? And my daughter, Riley, goes, it's not the summertime yet. And I'm like, oh, no, sweetie, it usually is hot right now. But what is going on?
The pattern continues to favor just a large area of low pressure over the west, so that will keep hundreds at bay for the time being.
We've only had 2 days that we've reached triple digits so far this year.
And that is odd.
Super odd.
Those of you that are new here, you should already be slathering yourself in SPF mayonnaise because it should be 100 plus. And instead,
we're seeing temperatures that we normally would see in, like, winter.
We're looking at temperatures that we normally see maybe in February, March, except we're in late May now, which we're around 20 degrees below normal. And on Wednesday, we're looking to be pretty similar with a high of 74.
74 degrees on Wednesday.
That is the overnight low normally in May, not the daytime high.
I've been in the pool once.
I've been in the pool once.
Because we had a string of like 90s.
High 90s, hundreds.
Yeah,
100s. I remember that.
But I'm still like, I'm not going in that pool. And Riley's like, can we go swimming? I'm like, I don't want to go swimming right now. That water hasn't baked yet.
Hasn't baked yet. So if you think the weather in Arizona is slightly odd and the fact that it is snowing in Flagstaff on May 20th.
I know you had to look at your phone.
But wait, there's more.
Oh, okay.
So I was in California this weekend, and Friday, I was outside of Fresno. Don't worry yourself. So a friend of mine said, oh, we're going up. We have a cabin up in the, you know, the Cascade Mountains up there in Northern California area like this. But we're not sure we can get to it. I go, why wouldn't you be able to get to the cabin?
Construction.
We had a rock slide somewhere. There was a fire. And he goes, oh, no, all the roads are closed due to snow.
What?
I said, I beg your pardon? He goes, no, literally, I'm looking on the app right now, and, like, freeways are closed due to snow in Northern California. And I went, okay, I'm calling BS on that.
Calling shenanigans?
So I start, like, doing on the Google machine.
Yeah.
Mammoth is a place where it's very popular snowing, right? Mammoth said, not only with the snow they had, but the snow that they got over this weekend, that if you are interested in some skiing or snowboarding, if you're cool, you could probably do it through July in Mammoth.
What?
They said definitely July 4th. You'll be able to do Happy Birthday America while snowboarding in Mammoth.
Dude,
Heavenly up there at Lake Tahoe says, at this point, we're not sure we're closing. They go, we don't have a closing date because we have so much snow on the ground.
That's amazing. You know, like, you're teasing me right now.
I am.
I want to go snowboarding in July.
Well, guess what? You are, California says, bring it on. It was funny. You know how they
can I go do like a live report there? Like, I'll go snowboarding
and
I'll call
right
in.
Down the street. You can see.
I will call in as I'm like shredding down. Yeah, shredding gnar.
I mean, this is decidedly different. I mean, there are. I don't know if this constitutes climate change or whatnot, but I mean,
but
it feels like regular weather patterns don't count. Like, they don't mean the same thing they once do. The times when it would normally get cold, it doesn't get cold. The times when it normally gets hot, it's not getting hot. The times when it's dry, no, it's wet. The times when it's supposed to be wet, where the heck's the rain? Like, it just feels weird.
Like, but this kind of stuff I won't complain about.
No, this?
If we go the opposite direction and we start getting, like, 120
in
and
December?
122, yeah, I'm out of here.
Yeah, right.
But this is gorgeous. The fact that, like, I slept with the windows open
last
night.
I had the windows open also.
We had a thunderstorm in Gilbert last night. I mean, what is going on? Yeah. Love it, though.
I got to save a little on my electric bill, right? Not having to air condition the house when it's 100 and change like it would normally be in May.
This is great.
We'll take it.
Get out and enjoy it, man.
Or go snowboarding for
in
the next
July.
Couple of months
I gotta talk
Northern California, Central California areas. Yeah. I'm not kidding.
I got to put in a vacation request now, just so you know. I'm out, guys.
I'm looking at the map. You know, you get all those apps and things. And I'm looking at the maps Friday and Saturday of the road closures in Northern California due to snow. I was like, that's a thing? That's a thing. You know, the other thing that happened over the weekend, a lot of you last night glued to the boob tube. Why? The end of Game of Thrones. After 8 seasons, HBO's Game of Thrones is over. So why are millions of you all in a tizzy? Get your skivvies in a wad over the last couple of episodes. We'll talk about the petition and why we may never see another show like Game of Thrones again.
And no spoilers here, just so you know.
Oh, I might.
No. Don't be that guy.
It may not even be on purpose.
Try.
I just don't
try
think
hard.
Like that. Okay, we'll try really hard. No spoilers. Coming up next on Arizona's News Station.
KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
From now on, rulers will not be born. They will be chosen on this spot by the lords and ladies of Westeros to serve the realm. But I ask you now, if we choose you, will you wear the crown? Will you lead the Seven Kingdoms to the best of your abilities from this day until your last day?
Stop it right there. Okay. All right. No spoiler, right? Whew. Got really close there. Got really close to it. So if you haven't watched it yet, we'll make every effort not to ruin it for you. No, we won't. I promise you. But Game of Thrones, after 8 seasons, comes to an end. The last couple of episodes, I mean, I would expect a certain amount of criticism. I think it's fair to say that any show that's been on the air for 8 years, when you try to end it, like some people are going to say, well, it was sloppy or it was thrown together. Or what about this? Like, it's impossible to wrap up every loose end, right?
Well, yeah.
It's any show.
Now, let me be like abundantly clear with folks. I can't ruin it for you because I've never watched it. But I have watched all of the hoopla surrounding it for all these years. And when you say you can't wrap it up into a nice, neat package, I'm going to take your word for it. Your word, as well as a million other people. Yes, there is a change.org petition going on right now to remake not just the finale, I suppose, but the entire season 8. Is this season one that like people are just really ticked off at?
Well, what it comes down to is, and you know that this show, like a lot of other good, think of Sopranos. A lot of people know that. Well,
I did not like how The Sopranos ended, I'll tell you that much.
But over the course of a variety of seasons, there might have been like lovable characters.
Sure.
Who got whacked.
Of course
they did. And they were just gone. Well, guess what? Game of Thrones, a lot of characters got whacked, beheaded, eaten by dragons, lit on fire by dragons. I mean, not everybody made it. Do you see what I'm saying? And so the idea that you don't like the ending of the show because insert your favorite character here didn't make it, I find it to be a little silly. It's a little silly.
But you talk about these favorite characters or whatever getting whacked in The Sopranos and the same thing happening in Game of Thrones. But so you have that sense of loss. But now that the entire show has wrapped, for some people, there is this sense of loss, this grief, like you've lost a friend, something that you've tuned
your
into
Sunday night companion
for the last 8 years. So there have actually been counselors available to discuss plot twists and storylines to help fans digest their feelings.
Really?
Because they say that diehard fans, chances are you are, you know, kind of ranging anything from anger to confusion to grief and sadness after the end of Game of Thrones. So counseling services are being offered to Game of Thrones fans. I think there's some people out there listening right now going, yeah, I could probably use somebody to talk to about what happened.
I need counseling for it, you know. There is something, though, and think about this. It's funny.
I'm not the only one that has to go.
Game of Thrones debuted in 2011. Like, that just sounds like a long time ago. 2011? 8 years ago, Game of Thrones first aired. And there is an argument that this show will be the last of its kind.
Don't they say that all the time? Like, MASH was the last of its kind.
And it was to
Sopranos was the last of its kind. I feel like I hear that all the time.
Because each of these huge cultural touchstones is a little smaller each time. Let me give you an example. In 2011, compared to this year, the number of scripted television shows, okay, a script, not reality TV, not sports, scripted television shows, is up 86% since 2011.
Whoa, wow.
So the
Is that like Netflix and Hulu?
Netflix, Amazon, FX, HBO, Showtime, all of these channels.
But Showtime and HBO and FX have always been around. I guess with like Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime doing like their own scripted?
Yes, but you also have a lot of those premium, not premium, the other cable channels, TBS or what, the ones that used to just show reruns of Seinfeld.
Well, now they have their
exactly right, and Friends. Yeah. It's all they ever showed. Well, now they have their own scripted television shows. So basically, everybody and their brother, even YouTube now, has their own scripted TV shows. And so the argument is choice kills, that you can't get everyone to coalesce around one show when you get 100 people in a room and they all have 100 different favorite shows.
Well, one of the reasons why I think you can't get everyone in the same room around the same boob tube, as you called it, is because HBO, with Game of Thrones, released an episode every Sunday, during the season. But now, like, for instance, this weekend, I started watching on Netflix Dead to Me.
Okay, yeah, new.
And I got through six episodes.
You watched six of them?
Because you can binge watch,
yeah,
which was something that I don't believe truly existed the way it does today in 2011.
No, it didn't. Think about how much has changed.
Yeah.
When you think about that, like, we've had Netflix our whole lives. You've had Netflix for 5 years. Seriously?
Well, no, I had Netflix ever since they mailed you DVDs. Remember that?
But it was tough to binge watch with DVDs,
well,
necessarily.
Because you couldn't.
Right.
They might give you, you know, two CDs of,
right,
or two DVDs of, what, Lost, right? But you had to watch them on
school.
DVD there.
Right.
You couldn't just sit down and
next,
have the automatic replay of the next episode.
I can't go to sleep. Okay, sure, one more, right?
Yeah.
But it really is interesting when you look at how... It's not, you know, it's almost like TV used to mean something. TV means everything these days. Everything you're watching on your iPad, on your TV, on your phone, people watching on their phone, it's all TV. And I think one of the interesting things is, like, I'm going to go back away, my machine. Go back to the 1900s, okay, when I watched TV. And you said, are you going to watch Seinfeld? I go, oh, it's Thursday night,
yeah,
and it's on Channel 12 NBC.
Like must-see TV.
Right.
Remember that?
And it was on at 7, by the way. So what channel is your favorite show on right now?
No clue.
What time is your favorite show
on?
It's irrelevant also. The channels don't make a lick of difference. The time doesn't matter. You watch what you want, when you want, and how you want, or you don't watch it.
I love
it. But you know what I'm saying? It has fundamentally changed how... As maybe the Super Bowl is the only thing where everybody has to still kind of get together at the same time. Because you don't watch a Super Bowl 4 days
later.
Well,
that's the thing. Sports will still bring people together to sit down on the couch and watch one sporting event together.
Mm-hmm.
The days of that happening with the television show are changing, and Game of Thrones may have been the last.
Well, and again, every one of these touchstone moments is a little bit smaller than the last one. Because it's that hard to get that many people together. You're talking 40 million, maybe 50, 60 million watched last night Game of Thrones. I'll remind you, MASH was, what, 105, 106 million people watched it? Sopranos was 70? You see, it's just every one of them is a little bit smaller than the last one. A little smaller. We'll get down to, you got a million people watching? It's a hit! All right? All right, Game of Thrones. We can move on now. What's next? Westworld? Oh, God. So how has the Me Too movement changed the workplace? Are women getting punished because guys are afraid? We'll talk about that next on Arizona's News Station.
Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
Maybe one of the positives to come out of the Me Too movement, hashtag Me Too movement, was an awareness of sexual harassment in the workplace, maybe a refocusing on the rules, expectations, societal norms you could make an argument over. But we're also finding out there may be, call it the downside, the negative aspect of the Me Too movement.
There's a survey that's been done, and we find out that 60% of male managers say that they're too nervous about being accused of harassment to interact with women in the workplace.
60? 60.
So we're talking about like mentoring, one-on-one meetings, socializing in any capacity. So if you've got 60% of male managers saying they're too nervous to talk, mentor, work with women, what do you think that's going to mean for women in the workplace?
It will hinder opportunity, advancement, raises, etc.
Are you going to get a promotion if you can't have a one-on-one with your manager?
Your boss is afraid of you, for lack of better terms.
How are you going to grow as an employee if there's no mentoring going on?
Here's where I see the conundrum of this. So while I think we have come up with a reasonable definition of what sexual harassment in the workplace is, and that we have these staff meetings, there is a webinar you must watch, there's a questionnaire you must fill out, what's appropriate, what's inappropriate, and we can define that in many ways. I realize there's still some gray, but for the most part, we can still define this is appropriate in the workplace, this isn't. How do you define this? How do you prove that somebody is avoiding you? Do you see it? How do you disprove the negative? How do you prove that the reason you didn't get the raise to a female is because your boss is afraid to be in a room alone with you? Like, how do you prove that?
But let's go back to what you just said. If we can check the boxes of this is harassment and this is not, why are you avoiding and ignoring women? If you don't check those boxes, then you're going to be fine. What I read this as are a lot of guys out there are afraid that a woman is going to accuse them of something they didn't do.
Falsely accused.
Okay. So what I hear there is women in your workplace are going to lie about your behavior. You're just assuming that all women in your workplace lie about the sexual harassment that they have encountered in years past. And because of that, you're not even going to put yourself in that situation, which is really crappy. Because at that point in time, it would be like this. And you and I have had these conversations over the year, Bruce. Whereas if you have, would you ever allow a boy or a guy to babysit your kids? If you say no, why?
Why?
Is it because...
What are you afraid of?
Is it because, you know, well, men abuse children and, you know, pedophiles.
Therefore, all men
exactly
are suspect and you can't have a male babysitter.
And that's kind of where you're going here. So
I see the correlation.
With like hashtag Me Too, it's great that we're talking about these things because the reporting is up. And I think that there are a lot of guys now that have gone back and looked at their past behavior and go, okay, I shouldn't do that moving forward. You learn from it. Awesome.
Yeah.
And we women have been able to come forward and say, yeah, we've experienced this, but it became so normalized for so many women that it's just kind of what you went through.
It was baked in the cake.
Until like you're going, oh, wow, that's not acceptable. That's not okay. No, it's not. So while it's not okay to harass us at work, it's not okay to ignore us either.
So I feel like the idiot that it never dawned on me that having a meeting alone with a female would put me in a vulnerable position.
Good.
I just never thought of that.
Good.
Well, you say good, but 60% of managers in this, apparently that's part of their thought process.
It's because they're trying to cover their tush. And if you have nothing to worry about, then you've got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, because I don't think, quote, false accusations are what brought down Bill Cosby.
No, Harvey Weinstein. Yeah, Matt Lauer.
Kevin Spacey. These weren't false accusations. These weren't people lying about them.
No.
These people had evidence.
Tons of it.
Yeah.
And so you're going to leave good talent to the wayside, that good talent being a female, because you're afraid of something that hasn't even happened yet. Ladies, have you experienced this? Do you think you've experienced this? Like Bruce said, how do you prove it? And guys, are you listening to this going, yeah, I'm kind of, you know, ignoring women as well because I'm afraid. We'd love to hear from you on our open mic line. 602-200-2733. 602-200-2733.
So we go from that right to the stories of teachers, administrators, coaches behaving badly around children. Who can you trust? How do you tell? How do you have that conversation with your kids? That's coming up next on Arizona's News Station.